I don't work around in tight clothes. I stay at home for most of the time.
You go out public and it's a embarrassment to me. You look like a on heat. And if you get raped by a pack, it'll be your fault. All right? Because you provoked it. You are provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs. You feel you have to show off in tight outfits and tight pants and stuff. You see your from behind. And that green thing today was enough. That's provocative. Okay?
Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Overprepared for a Day at the Beach Guy.
Overprepared for a Day at the Beach Guy.
To you, the beach means the simple things. Sun, sand, surf, three coolers of food, a half-acre white blanket, beach chairs, inflatable flotation devices, and a really good book.
You'll need a permit to build that beach tent.
Enjoy those 15 trips back and forth to the car.
Gotta get those dozen boogie boards, yeah.
So when you're next to a guy sitting under a designer sun canopy who has enough buckets and sand shovels to build the Taj Mahal, adjust your Speedo and salute to Mr. Overprepared for a Day at the Beach Guy, a real American hero.
Mr. Overprepared for a Day at the Beach Guy.
You know, getting away from it all doesn't mean bringing it all with you.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning, Kara. Good morning, everyone. It's Wednesday, July 14th. Today is the Bastille Day in France, which is their Independence Day, like we really care. But just in case you wanted to know.
That's funny. Somebody had said Happy Bastille Day. I didn't get it because I didn't do, I just didn't pay attention.
You didn't do history in school?
I didn't pay attention. I was too busy thinking about butterflies and...
And makeup.
Yeah, makeup. You know, no. everybody, Sam is wearing shorts today.
Is that like a big deal or what?
It took me back a bit. It did.
Oh, really?
Because you're always wearing jeans.
Yeah.
And
because you get to see my hairy legs now.
No, you're not hairy. Believe me, the guy I was dating, he was hairy.
Really?
Once you see hairy, nothing. You can look at a bear. You can look at a little rodent. You're like,
really?
It's fine. No, it's all good.
It's amazing you're attracted to that because you said that you don't really like.
No, it's not really my thing. But you know, when you fall in love with somebody, it's not really.
You're willing to overlook something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not perfect either.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm close, but
really.
Yeah,
oh
right?
Yeah.
No, but
aww.
Yeah. No, I mean, you really fall in love with the person.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, the guy that I was with for a while,
yeah.
Very, very hairy. But no, you're wearing shorts. It's a little different off the beaten path. It looked like you had a little pep in your step because you had shorts on.
Uh-huh.
You're walking up. You're like, okay, guys, it's a laid-back day. I got my shorts on.
Yeah, there you go. 100 degrees outside, man. I'm wearing shorts. The hell with it. The hell with looking good. Besides, shorts are fine.
No, shorts are totally fine.
Yeah. I mean, in Israel, that's all I wore because in the heat and the humidity there, you can't really wear long pants. I mean, you die.
Mm.
Yeah, so...
No, I totally hear you. It's a steamer today, guys. I don't know where it is where you are.
Yeah.
But...
We started. The heat has started, and it's not just a heat wave. I mean, for us, it lasts for months.
And, you know, the reality is, I mean, we do have it, so we still have it good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still bearable. I went on a run this morning, and it was hard, but I made it. I'm here right now.
Yeah, well, it's not that hot yet.
It's not that hot.
Yeah,
right.
but don't go jogging like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, I'm not. I'm doing a running group tonight, so I'll be good.
A running group tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. What is it centered around Hollywood? Is that where?
It's in the West Hollywood area near the Grove.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the Nike store. You guys should check it out if you're ever into runs. You don't have to be in LA, but they have Nike usually hosts a lot of running groups.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good if you're wanting to kind of do. I brought friends on it that aren't runners, and they had a good time.
Really?
There's just a collective energy of everybody getting out and doing it and having a really fun time and being fun.
Okay, sounds
yes.
good.
And I'll be wearing shorts.
I can find other ways to have fun, but hey, you know.
Like what?
Whatever suits you fine.
Like what?
Like being at the pool or something. That
would
be
a
lot.
Do you have a pool where you live?
No, we don't.
Really?
But I have friends who have pools. But I don't know. I really don't have the desire. Maybe I do. I don't know. I need to start thinking about
it. You just
that.
Need to get out there and do some fun stuff, Sam.
Yeah.
You're a little too homebody. You gotta it up.
Well, you know, I've put in my share.
You put in your time.
Yeah. I mean, in my 20s, man, I was wild.
You were wild.
I was wild, man. I was all over the place.
Yeah.
I miss those days, you know?
Yeah.
I miss being in my 20s.
I guess there's transitions in life. I find that when I'm at home too long, I get sucked into being at home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I know that there's life out there, but I can't get myself off and out to get out of there.
Yeah. But, I mean, staying at home is not a bad thing, you know? I mean, if you keep yourself busy and stuff, you know, it's...
No, I like going home to rest, but I really don't like hanging out there.
Yeah.
I like going home
it
to
depends.
Refill.
I mean, you also have, like, one room, you know? I mean...
500 roommates. Pretty much. I'm really blessed, though, for sharing a room and sharing an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I just have the greatest roommates. Yeah. I mean, it could be bad. I was thinking about that. I'm like, if I didn't really love these people, this would be awful.
Yeah, I know, such close proximity.
But we hang out and we not only live in the same room and our feet touch at night when we sleep. It's we hang out still. We have a great time and my roommates are just good people, man.
Yeah, cool.
It's fun.
Good for you.
It's like summer camp. One day it's good. We're gonna all grow up.
Yeah.
Until then. Yeah, it's fun, though.
Yeah.
It is.
I know. Well, we're going to have a great interview. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, you've been talking about this, dude.
Yeah, because this is the number one bestseller right now on the New York Times, and it's called The Passage. And I remember seeing it at the bookstore, and I thought, you know, something about vampires and stuff didn't really attract me. But this is a totally different vampire movie. I mean, we're not talking Twilight here or book, but... It's actually pretty cool. I started reading it. I read like 100 pages of it already.
Oh, really?
But it's a big tome. It's about 800 pages.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. But the author's name is Justin Cronin, and he's also going to do a book signing in L.A., so we'll promote that.
Are you going to go?
About The Grove.
Yeah.
So he's going to do that at The Grove, and we'll promote it when we have him on the line. So in a few minutes, they're going to call us, and I highly recommend the book.
Is it scary? You said it was like kind of...
You know, I didn't get to the scary part, but it does start getting a little scary, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But we'll talk more about
it. Okay, because now I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm really, really interested.
Really, yeah. It's cool. It's like... Sort of like the end of the world and, you know, things
Man,
happen.
Vampires are just in right now. I mean, they've really been in, but they're not going anywhere.
I know. And I'm not really into the Twilight stuff, you know. But
It's okay. It's cute.
But it's funny how we were talking to Christopher Rice, who's the son of Anne Rice, and we were talking about how she's the one that made him romantic and sensual and that sort of thing.
Yeah, she really did.
Where before, vampires were just horror stories, you know?
Yeah, she really brought like a almost human qualities to the world and made it very inviting.
Yeah.
I really liked Christopher Rice. He was super cool.
Do you ever watch True Blood?
Oh yeah,
TV? Really?
Yeah, True Blood is a great show.
Is it really?
When you first watch it, you're like, why is it a little over the top? But then you get in the rhythm of it. It's very campy. It's drama, but it's really comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very funny, and it's take so many twists and turns, it becomes kind of like a whodunit type thing.
Right.
And it's just fun to take such intensity to such a campy show. I like it a lot.
Right.
The characters are great.
So that, I mean, is it like Twilight? I mean,
no, Twilight's
been inspired by it.
Twilight's though. No, they're very different. Twilight, I mean, because True Blood turns into it has a lot of different types of mythical and fantasy type characters from not just vampires, werewolves, and all these crazy mythical characters. So it's really, really funny and interesting. It's got a lot of edge. I mean, Twilight's more for teens, and I mean, Twilight has a very broad fan base, but you know, I definitely don't think True Blood's appropriate for anybody that's still in high school or something.
Really?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, in my opinion, but maybe I'm really conservative, but I think it's too edgy and just too graphic, and some parts it's kind of like soft porn, like some of the scenes.
Really?
Yeah, I have a couple friends that have worked on the show and are have done a lot of work, and they like strip down and they have like, you know, straight up scenes where they're all nude and Yeah, but I mean, that's not what it's about, but it's definitely...
That's part of it.
It's definitely, there's a graphic side to it. Mm-hmm. But it's also, it is character and plot driven at the same time, which is cool.
Yeah.
You have these awesome, interesting characters, and some of them are really complicated, but it's also, the plot keeps you going. It moves very quickly.
Right, right.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's really a fun show.
Yeah.
But it's a little dirty, and it's a little graphic, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go. I think we have them on the line. Good morning, Sam and Kara, and you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, it's Elise from Newman Colony Trust in Cronin.
Yes, Elise. Go ahead and put him through.
Great. I will. Stand by.
Okay. This is the publicist, Elise. She's
I didn't get
pretty
my people
cool.
Don't just call themselves.
Well, no, because he's on a book tour now, and he needs someone to manage this. I mean, he can imagine, you know, they're on a lot of shows every day and stuff. Can you imagine a book tour? I mean, that would be quite a, you know, quite a journey. But
we're talking trash before you see. I'm like,
why are we talking trash?
No, I'm making a joke. I was like, who can't just call for themselves?
Oh, I
you
see.
Know? And they call and they're like online. They're on the air online.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's you know, when you're number one author.
Yeah.
You know, people do the calling for you.
Well,
I would expect it to happen too. You know. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. You are with Justin Cronin.
Okay, Justin. Good morning to you.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Where are you calling us from at this point? I know you're on a book tour right now.
Yeah, I'm actually at home for a few days. I'm in Houston.
Oh,
you're in Houston? That's where I'm from.
Yeah, she was just there.
All right.
It's freaking hot, huh?
What part of town?
What'd you say?
What part of town?
You know, actually, I say Houston because it's the biggest civilization near where I grew up, but it's a small town outside of Houston on the Gulf of Mexico. It's called It's called Bay Cliff. Have you ever heard of it?
Probably not. No.
No. people 2 miles away haven't even heard of it. So don't worry. Don't stress, Justin. Don't stress.
Okay, Justin, let's get to the passage. We got the book a few days ago, and I started reading this, and I was fascinated. I'm not really into vampires, but you managed to bring the genre back to life after all the Twilights of the World and you know, the romantic, the Lestat kind of vampires. Tell us a little bit about the book. It's a pretty thick book, about 800 pages. Can you give us in a nutshell the plot?
Well, a nutshell is hard for an 800-page book, I'll give you the basic proposition of the novel, which, since you mentioned vampires, I think is probably a good place to start. I decided that I would write about the real vampires. You know, every legend has got some basis in historical fact, and, you know, vampire legends are ubiquitous. I mean, and I know we're going through a little vampire boom right now, but these stories with all their little details of the teeth and the coffins and all that stuff, it's always been around. So I created a character who has an invented job. He's a paleovirologist, and he goes looking for the virus that he believes is the source of the legend, that it creates the sort of symptoms that have become the basis for the vampire story. And, of course, he finds it and gets a lot more than he bargained for. It leads to something known as the Great Viral Catastrophe, you know, sort of a terrible epidemic that transforms the planet. At the center of it all is a little girl named Amy, who is sort of the hero of the book. It's a book full of many characters, but she's the centerpiece because she is unusual. She's infected by this virus, but it behaves very differently in her. And she is make a long story short, she becomes the key to saving the human race,
right.
And that's the basic outline of the story.
Right, and I thought the beginning of the book was pretty touching. The way she started her childhood, pretty much as a 6-year-old, and her mother sort of abandoned her, and so the book starts with a drama, and then it really starts picking up pace. I wanted to ask you, how long did it take you to write a book like this?
It's hard to measure the amount of time that goes into a book because there's always sort of this long sort of throat clearing period where you're trying to get started and clear out other responsibilities. But I think it took me about 3 years with my butt in the chair working on it every day like it was my job, which it is. It is my job, and that's how books get written. You know, you just sort of say, I'm going to write 1,000 words a day and see how long I can keep going. And so I'd say about 3 years was how long it took.
Wow, that's a lot of persistence, man, because I don't think I personally could do that, but you definitely brought us a great great book here. Now, I understand also that they're looking at this, turning it into a movie, and can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the movie rights were actually bought outright pretty early in the process. A bunch of studios got interested before the book was even done, and
the
winner in all that was Fox, who bought the film for Ridley Scott's production company, which was was great. I mean, Ridley Scott has done every kind of film that The Passage is as a novel. I mean, he's done horror and he's done science fiction, he's done urban combat, he's done a great road story in Thelma and Louise, all of which kind of play into this book. And the screenwriter that they have for the project is John Logan, who wrote Gladiator, arguably, one of the greatest movies of all time, and certainly one of Ridley Scott's best films. So it's a very powerful team, and I'm very lucky to have them.
Yeah, I mean, you must be very ecstatic. Now, did you ever have a feeling your book is going to go up to number one?
No, I didn't. And, you write a book kind of in a vacuum of expectation, or at least I do. You know, when I'm writing the story, I have no idea if anybody in the world will want it, And the night before my agent sent this out, my wife asked me, like, what will you do if nobody wants to publish it?
Yeah.
And which I considered a serious possibility at that time. And I said, I'll write it anyway. It's a good story. Maybe by the time I'm done with it, somebody will want it. So this has all been just like a great ride and a total surprise and, completely thrilling. And, it's an experience I hope every writer can have someday. I know they can't, but I feel really lucky to have it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you were endorsed by Stephen King, which I think is such a great honor, And, I don't know how much that helped the book sell, but I think the book definitely
stands huge on
its own. Yeah.
Yeah, Justin, I got a question for you. I mean, you said this took you 3 years, really to hammer it out in the chair every day like a job. And then you said people started getting interested in buying the rights to the movie before the book was even made. Is that correct or finished?
Yeah, before the book was done. In fact, the book got a publisher, and in fact got publishers in several countries, before it was finished, which is not actually all that unusual in publishing. Actually, all my books, I've managed to place them with publishers before they were done, just out of the desperate need to have somebody give me a few dollars so I could continue to feed my business while I finished it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did it get to where it started to blow up before it was even... I mean, you went from you and your wife going, okay, we're going all in on this, and what if nobody wants it? And then going from that to now people are buying the rights to the movie before the book's even finished. How did that happen? I mean, how did it get out there that quickly?
Well, that's the mystery of publishing. I mean, I guess the real answer is that the portion of the book that we sent out early on, people really liked it, and there was just a lot of excitement and a lot of publishers wanted it. And in that sort of scrum of competition, it was a really crazy month, where all of a sudden, the world was kind of excited about the book that I had up until then not shown anybody except my wife and my agent. And what happens is Hollywood actually has basically spies, I think would be the name for it. They're planted everywhere in publishing.
Really?
They're called scouts. And something comes across their desk that they think is potentially interesting to Hollywood. They get it in people's hands.
Oh, that's
and
so cool.
Out of blue, we started getting those calls.
Right.
That's so interesting. So congratulations to you on that. My second question is, and I'm sure you get this all the time. Okay, so you're doing the vampire thing. I'm sure you're doing it in an original and totally different way. But with the vampire mania that's going on with Twilight and True Blood, I mean, what did you think about kind of embarking on the vampire? there's so much out there. It's becoming, so normative. Did you have any hesitations with going down that path?
Well, actually, when I started this, which was in the fall of 2005, the current vampire boomlet had not started yet.
Right.
And it was kind of about to get started, as it turns out. The first of the Twilight books came out at about that time, but it took like a year to build, and it was basically aimed at a young adult audience, so it was kind of off my radar
Right.
while I was planning the book and then starting the book. And then it went on in the background, and I was like, oh, well, that's great. People are still interested. And I was glad I was doing something different with it, you know, right. Than, you know, Twilight or True Blood or the sort of the vampire seducer kind of material, you know, kind of theme. That's just one way to handle the story, but I'd gone in a different direction, you know, sort of pure scary.
Right.
And so my feeling about it was great. You know, maybe some of those readers will be interested in my book too.
Right.
That's a really good answer. Yeah, that's actually
And it's important to know that it's not like it happened overnight for you. I mean, you paid your dues. You've written two more books before that. And so it's a journey until you finally hit it big. And we want to congratulate you on
Absolutely.
That. Now, I know also you're going to be in L.A. soon. I wanted to promote your appearance. You're going to be at Barnes & Noble at the Grove, and that's going to be on, let's see, where is that? July 21st, I believe. And where did they
put
this?
Next week. It's Wednesday next week. Yeah, Wednesday night of next week.
Right, which is, July 21st. It's going to be at Barnes & Noble in the Grove, and that's at 7 o'clock. Talk and signing. I'm going to try my best to be there. I'd love
yeah,
to
we're
have
come
my,
support.
My book autographed and stuff. How's the how long is your book tour going to take?
Well, I've been on tour really pretty solidly since the end of May, so the last week of May. So I've been traveling around for quite a while. I just got back from a week in Great Britain where the book came out a couple of weeks after it did here. And so I've got this week I'm doing stuff, and then next week, and then I get a little break. I get some vacation.
That's cool.
Awesome. Does your family, do they go with you on the book tour, or is it just you?
No, it would never work. We'd spend all of our time trying to find a community pool for my seven-year-old. It's just, those tours are not compatible with children, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
So they get their vacation in August and the chance to have a reunion with Dad. I haven't seen him very much for a month, which is really unusual because, you know, writers, we work at home. We're around all the time. So
right.
It's kind of unusual for me to be gone somewhere.
Right. But once the book is published, obviously your work is not done and you have to keep on promoting this. Now, just finally, I noted that you had a nine-year-old, or you have a nine-year-old who was, or maybe was nine-year-old at the time you wrote this, but did this
right.
affect the story in any way? I mean, did you draw on that at all?
Well, my daughter was really kind of the inspiration for the story. I mean, she actually dared me to write it. She was just a, you know, little kid. She's a, she was eight, turning nine at the time. Now she's 13, so, you know, she's a completely different kid, but at the time, she dared me to write a story about a girl who saves the world, and I took her up on that dare. You
wow.
know, it was I don't know, parenting is mostly, you know, faking it and pretending
yeah.
you know, doing stuff. So I said to her, sure, and we spent about 3 months talking about a story. And by the time it was all done, I actually had a pretty good plot and decided to use it, and that became the book.
Wow, how amazing is that, man?
I love hearing yeah. ideas become huge, big deals. I just love it. I love right. it that it comes from something small, then it grows, and most people are so afraid to take a risk like that, and somebody's like, you know what, I'm going to actually go play with my kid for a bit and see what happens. Oh, a bestseller book. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, too, right? It's not a story I could make up, and I make up stories for a living. I mean, it was really just extraordinary.
There
That's
you
beautiful.
Go, yeah.
That's so beautiful.
At what age did you start writing? Has this been something you always loved to do?
You know, I kind of backed into it. I would say that I became a writer because I gradually got worse at everything else and good at this one thing. I mean,
right.
I think most, it's not a career you just sort of pick and then sort of assemble your life around it because it takes forever and you can't just sort of, it's not like being a doctor. You go to medical school and when it's all over, you're a doctor. You have to kind of like thrash your way. It's like being an actor or it's not any kind of artist. You have to kind of thrash your way through the underbrush for a really long time, and I always had just enough success to kind of keep me going. I mean, I guess in some ways I started right after college, but I've been an English teacher for many, many years. That was kind of my day job, so I put the food on the table while I struggled as a writer, so it turned out being a very good choice for me.
Yeah. Well, it seems like the struggling is over. You know, you're probably set for life now and your kids, which is pretty cool. Everybody go get The Passage by Justin Cronin, of course, and don't miss the book signing next Wednesday at 7 o'clock at The Grove. Justin, thank you so much for taking
Thank you.
Out of your busy time and your schedule. And we wish you all the best with the book. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Okay,
be good.
Justin,
Tell
you take
Houston
care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Till Houston, I said hi. Come on now.
I said, tell Houston, I said bye. I don't know.
Yeah. Cool guy, man.
He
cool
seems
guy.
Pretty cool. That's
you
a cool
know?
Story.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you hear about people, you know, struggling for many years, and especially writers, you know, I mean, you write it, you don't know if anybody's going to buy it, anybody's going to be interested in it, like he said, you know, and then suddenly it just hits it big, and you go, my God, you know, I must be good.
You know? I just love it. I love seeing creativity come to life and it be something that becomes a shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
Something that was just a thought. I mean, people that write great music or do whatever performance or create movies or whatever it is, it's just mm-hmm. so cool how they it can look like they're not doing anything, but they're creating this alternate world or experience that then yeah. comes to life. I just think that's so cool.
I know. And it's like, you know, the depth of their mind and their imagination is amazing. You know, I mean, you sit there and you realize there's not just one or two characters. I mean, you're talking about dozens of characters and creating the background for each one of them and the back stories and that. It's like, it's just amazing. I don't know how people can do that, you know.
I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way to go, Justin.
Yeah.
See at the
really
Grove.
Cool. Well, now you have to read it.
I'm actually really interested. I'm not much of a fiction reader, but I'll look into it.
I know. You're not that much into thrillers than that, huh?
I think I'd rather watch it. I just never really make time to read it.
Yeah.
I have so much going on. I read more nonfiction stuff.
Yeah.
But
well, you can wait for the film. I'm sure it's going to be.
Wait for the film.
And Ridley Scott, too. I mean, you
well,
know.
I forgot to ask him. I want to ask him, with 800 pages, why didn't he think about kind of franchising it out or doing it in multiple books and having a series.
Well, you'd be amazed to say that this is a first of a trilogy, apparently.
Mm.
So he's probably got another 800-page
books.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
In the works.
So this is going to be a trilogy?
Yeah, that's what it says, yeah.
800? Oh, because I was going to ask him, why don't you just do like, you know,
yeah,
bunch of books in a row? Boom, 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 boom. Cha-ching, yeah. Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, well,
he's already
I don't
on
know.
Top of that.
Sometimes I wonder, you know, how people really... I don't know if they aim to make a book that thick, but it's amazing that they have so much to write.
But there's like 800 pages and you're on the first 100 pages.
Yeah, you know, and some stories can't be told in less than that, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
So, you know what movie we watched last night is Precious. Have you seen Precious?
Yeah.
Wow, what a powerful movie.
It's very powerful. It's a hard movie.
Yeah, it is. It is. We only have about 20 minutes left, so I don't know the ending, but... Man, there's some good acting in that movie.
Didn't you think Monique was amazing?
Yeah, she's really amazing at what she does.
Yeah, I really feel like I knew people like that. I knew people
really?
that were those kind of people.
Really?
You know, really troubled, really broken, and just dysfunctional and crazy and twisted. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And you look at this and you go, no wonder her daughter is so fat and everything. You know, it's just like, how do you take all this abuse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You got to sort of protect yourself somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And then the abuse she got from other students and kids her mm-hmm. age. And it's just amazing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how old the actress really is?
I don't know.
You don't have any idea?
Yeah.
Because she's like 16 in the story, right?
I think she is like 16 in the story. Such a... It's a hard story.
Yeah, know? It really it's hard to watch, you know, mm-hmm. but it's like it's fascinating at the same time. And I'm usually not into dramas,
mm-hmm.
but this was something else. So
yeah.
I highly recommend it, you know. It definitely deserved the awards that it got. Who got the awards? Was it Monique that got the award?
Monique got the award.
The
I think
Academy
the director
award?
Got an award as well. I think the director did. I'm not sure.
No, the director was the one for The Hurt Locker. What's her name?
Yeah, no, he didn't win. I don't think that he won. For the
for
Oscar.
Director.
Yeah. But,
oh, I see. For something else, like
yeah,
maybe
I think
Golden
so.
Globe or something?
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Well, I definitely highly recommend it. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Don't you hope it's going well? Shitty Talk Radio proliferates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Kara in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
So in case you've been under a rock, they've been releasing Mel Gibson's recordings of him calling his ex-girlfriend, and
that's the movie
some heavy shit. Yeah, I mean,
it's
you
like
want to
real
talk
life,
about abuse,
man.
You know?
I just, oh my gosh, are we gonna play it right?
Yeah, we played a little bit at the beginning of the show, but I want to play a little bit more just so you see who we're dealing with here, because this guy, I think, has gone over the top, you know, just a little bit, just a little bit. I don't know why I can't access this thing, but. We'll get there in just a second. So I watched it on TV yesterday, and this guy is...
it's like there's such venom coming out of his mouth, and there's such a chauvinist, like there's a weird power control type. He's so pissed and angry, but it doesn't even have to do with her.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to do with her.
Yeah, but the verbal abuse is just unbelievable, and you wonder how people can get... How people can get to that point after they've been in love, you know, and had kids and stuff, you know, and then suddenly, I mean, he left his wife for her, and this was supposedly like a big deal and everything, and now he's like torturing her.
They said they're more.
So let's. I've got about a 3-minute clip here. Let's take a listen in case you haven't heard. And this is Mel Gibson talking to his ex-girlfriend.
Tell me that the message or something, right? Because you're doing something, trying to breastfeed with fucking foreign bodies in you.
So
was that it?
It has nothing to do with it.
Oh, it had nothing to do with what? The fact that you had foreign bodies in there?
Correct.
Correct, okay, good. So you're not lying to me about fake tits?
I've never have.
Yes, yes, you just did. You said they weren't. You fucking lied to me before.
What? I didn't. I never said anything of a kind. You never asked me, I never told you. Or maybe you asked me, but I never lied about this.
Not a lie, who cares? So, they look ridiculous. Get rid of them, why don't you? Anyway, you know...
That's not none of your fucking business. What
it is, it is. They look stupid, I'm just telling you. It's just an appraisal. Keep them if you want. Look stupid, see if I give a fuck. You know, but they're too big and they look stupid. They look like some Vegas bitch. They look like a Vegas whore. Mm-hmm. And you go around sashaying around in your tight clothes and stuff. I won't stand for that anymore.
I don't walk around in tight clothes. I stay at home for most of the time.
You go out in public and it's a fucking embarrassment to me. You look like a fucking bitch on heat. And if you get raped by a pack of niggers, it'll be your fault. All right? Because you provoked it. You are provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs you feel you have to show off in tight outfits and tight pants and stuff. You see your pussy from behind. And that green thing today was enough. That's provocative. Okay? I'm telling you. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't like it. I don't want that woman. I don't want you. I don't believe you anymore. I don't trust you. I don't love you. I don't want you. Okay?
Okay.
Stay in the fucking house. I'm not giving it to you, but I'll let you stay there. Okay? And I will take care of my child, but I don't want you anymore.
Wow. Stop like in the middle here. I don't know what that.
That
was.
Is disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and.
But the thing is
the
I know.
The bottom line is she recorded the whole friggin' thing, you know.
I don't know the whole story. I mean, I'm looking at it. It just apparently it says that, you know, he lashed out because she fell asleep the night before. That she fell asleep the night before performing sexual favors. So apparently she's supposed to get him off and she fell asleep.
Really?
And he said, I should have woken you up. He goes, I should have woken you up and said, effing blow me. And he goes, I should have effing woken you up and said, blow me. You would have liked that better. Yeah. Okay.
God. And the racial slurs that he was using there, man. Wow.
And he's talking about you fell asleep. You're effing snoring. You didn't. How dare you?
Yeah. You know, I mean, and these are the people that we worship in this society, you know, movie stars, celebrities, and this is what they have to give us back, you know. And I don't know. I mean, this is like definitely would require a restraining order, I think, you know, this is pretty dangerous shit, you know, because, you know, when someone's that angry, you don't know what the hell they're going to do.
I don't know. I don't know where it comes from, but here's the reality. What has he done that is illegal in this situation? That's what I'm saying. I mean, it disgusts me.
Oh, no, because it's not just this. I'm sure there are some conversations where he was threatening her or something, you know?
I know, but I mean, literally, like, and I'm kind of playing devil's advocate, but not really, because I'm not trying to protect anything the man said. But, I mean, there's so many people, like, if we could record the conversations they have behind closed doors.
Right, right.
He's not the only monster out there.
Right, yeah.
You know?
And obviously, we're not saying it was illegal.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's they're saying that there's investigations, and I think they're looking to see if there are threats or, you know, things like that. But anyway, I don't know. I think that there's a lot of hate in people. I mean, it's misplaced anger. Like, did she really, by falling asleep before they, you know, finished whatever, did I mean, it's so domineering. I mean, he's like, bad before I blow me. I'm like, I put that motherfucking dick in my mouth and let's see what happens. I'm sorry. That pisses me off. Sorry, guys, for my mouth. But you know what? Somebody comes at me saying you didn't, if that happened to me, oh, you want to try it? Let's go for it. Put it in. See what happens. I'm serious. Oh, you know what?
Off?
I'm sorry I didn't get you off. Here, you know what? That's seriously what I... Of course, I don't know what I'd do. I'm sorry for the language, guys, but that really made me mad.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Imagine what? You biting off his penis?
Can you imagine being a woman and a man yelling at you that you should have, you know, done that and that, you know, it starts harassing you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm sorry. I you know, I took a Tylenol PM. Let's give it a go. Let's give it a second round.
Yeah. Well, this guy's a chauvinist. He's a racist, and he's just an asshole. And I've stopped going to his movies. I don't see his movies anymore.
Well, I mean, the reality is that I don't know him personally, so I'm not gonna make. I really think it's really easy to cast stones and go, you know what, you're just a disgusting person. And that's what I want to say. But the reality is a lot of people have a lot of different demons. And I mean, you know what, it's easy to look at other people, but I mean, I've seen situations, not obviously on this public magnitude, but behind closed doors, I've heard of couples, people I know personally that, you know, people you wouldn't think that are the way they treat their wives or,
oh yeah,
you know,
yeah. I mean,
and the things that they say to them, like you're disgusting or they degrade them or they're violent to them or they're, you know, emotionally abusive. I mean, he didn't invent this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, he's public.
No, he didn't. Yeah. But that's the point, you know, is that, you know, we admire these people. We give them a lot of power and you realize they're just big assholes, you know? And I don't know. I have issues with him. I'm not.
Was it the anti-Semitic thing?
Yeah, that too. That too. And it's just the way he's treated the policemen that arrested him and that and his interviews and that. You know, I mean, his father is a Holocaust denier. You know, so this is the environment that he grew up in. And
you know. Yeah, I don't know. It's just so weird. It's just. I know that a lot of celebrities were weighing in. They were asking people what they thought. And then Jamie Foxx, he's so funny. You know, because he's got a lot of public blunders, too. Mm-hmm. He goes, you know what? He goes, I've made a lot of mistakes, too, in my life that I regret. He goes, nothing this bad. But, you know, it's like he said it, kind of like catching himself, like, well, yeah, this one's really bad.
Yeah.
I think
people can get that mad.
Now, if you go to watch The View, there's a clip of Whoopi Goldberg going off on what's her name, Grigorova, I can't pronounce her, Oksana, and she's going off and saying, you know what, if you're in a situation where you're being threatened with your child and you don't go first to the police, but you go to the media, she goes, shame on you. And she's basically...
I don't know if she directly went to the media. I think she went to the police.
Well, there's a clip you could play it if you were to do... The View with Whoopi Goldberg, but she's kind of going off on the whole situation, and I kind of, you know, I have to kind of agree as far as if you're going straight to the press to secure, you know, if you're securing your future with some money, so.
Yeah. Well, Kim Basinger did the same thing with Alec Baldwin, you know. Also released the phone conversations. Do you remember that?
Oh, with his daughter.
Yeah, with his daughter and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's amazing that, But they record those phone calls. You know, I mean, she must have felt afraid if she decided to record those calls. And I don't know that they necessarily she necessarily went to the media first.
But I mean, I think everybody's got a backup plan.
Yeah.
I mean, she knows this dude's a little bit. She knows he's jacked up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, I'm gonna go ahead and secure my future while I can. He's like, you can. He's like, Elena, leave. I hate you. I'm gonna take care of my kid. You could stay in the house.
Yeah.
I'm not giving it to you, but you can stay there.
Yeah. I think I found the View
the
video
clip?
You were
okay.
talking about. Let's see if it comes up. And so this is Whoopi Goldberg, right?
Yeah.
Talking about it. Defending Mel Gibson. Wow. See.
Another day, and an even more offensive rant, allegedly from Mel Gibson.
You're a f- you, then.
RadarOnline.com posted another recording today purported to be Mel Gibson in a bitter argument with his ex-girlfriend, Oksana Grigorieva.
You don't f- count.
In this brand new explosive rant revealed today, we hear a knockdown, drag-out custody fight. But it's not about Mel and Oksana's 8-month-old daughter. It's about one of their workers. The man purported to be Mel Gibson uses a racial slur as he threatens to fire a woman if she goes to work at Oksana's house.
I'll report her to the people that take money from the okay?
We also hear an explosive fight over money.
And you're telling me that you take away whatever pennies that you just given to me? I don't have anything because I've given you my life 3 years now.
I gave you everything. Don't you dare complain to me.
And Mel and Oksana purportedly even go at it over their baby daughter.
You're looking after my child.
She's my child too.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, you hope she doesn't turn out like you.
Showbiz Tonight has not been able to independently confirm whether the male voice on the Radar Online recordings is Gibson. Oksana says it is, and if it is Mel, he's definitely set a new low in offensive language. In recordings Radar Online posted last week, the male voice purported to be Gibson uses the N-word.
If you get raped by a pack of s***, it'll be your fault.
In fact, these recordings contain so many F-words, C-words, N-words.
Well, this is not Whoopi. Language. How come they're saying this is Whoopi and stuff? Let me see if I can find...
I just sent you a link to your...
Oh, well, that's what it says, though. I mean, it says that...
Anyway.
Whatever, the hell with it. Yeah, you guys can find it on CNN and everywhere else.
Yeah. Man, that's just an angry dude. He's just angry and not very happy. What are you going to do?
Yeah. I don't know, man. But if I was a woman, I'd be scared from shit like that, man.
So he's not... You know? Yeah.
He's pretty angry.
I know what his deal is. Maybe he just has a small dong or something. Or
maybe he does.
You know?
I just think it's like that inflated sense of power, you know, that they get. I mean, think about it, you know? I mean, when you have that much money, you're that famous, doors are...
I mean, is he on drugs or something? I mean, it's... I mean, I don't know.
It doesn't have to be that pissed, you know?
No, that's true. Have you ever... You've never yelled at a woman like that, have you?
I may have.
No.
No, not like that. Not like that. I mean, I've gotten angry and stuff, you know, and I've said some terrible things, but, you know, I won't deny it. But nothing ever to threaten anyone, you know.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
That's angry.
People get angry.
Well, you know, and he just needs to learn to scream in a pillow and count to 10 backwards or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe he just needs to stop doing movies and just work on life a little bit.
Yeah.
Work on... people. I mean, what is it like to be his ex-wife, married him, and had 7 children?
Mm-hmm. What's it like, indeed?
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. Mel Gibson for you, man. These are the people that we admire.
Well, the thing is this, and other people are saying, you can't take away the talent. I mean, he is talented. That stands alone. You don't have to patron his movies. You don't have to support him because it violates what you believe on some level, and I respect that. But I mean, it doesn't take away the fact that he's, you know, he is talented. So.
Yeah, no, it doesn't take away the fact. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's just like a lot of people had a problem with Amy Winehouse and some other people that were kind of a train wreck at the time, and you know, her CD's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality, is that she's got great, great music. So, yeah. Yeah.
But you still had to remain a decent human being, I think.
Yeah.
And on that note, folks, thank you all for joining us. Kira, thank you. Are you going jogging anytime soon?
Not right
tonight,
this
right?
You're tonight, going I'm tonight. Going to jog. Okay. I'll let you guys know how it goes.
Yeah, it'll get a lot cooler tonight, I'm sure. And so everybody take care of yourselves, and we'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.